How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Within football, we have silos.
We're going to talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and that week they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast. I'm on Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello.
And the Green Bay Packers win in non-dramatic fashion, 20-19. A fun game for everyone. Todd is shaking his head as I am even just saying that. Todd, what, you didn't enjoy the game?
I didn't enjoy any of the game. Actually, that's not true. I enjoyed the first touchdown.
And we had some ha-has in there.
Some ha-has.
Some funny. Yeah, some old.
I didn't enjoy any of the game. Even when we won, I was like, we should not have won. We should have lost.
I think we all had a dark period of time on Sunday watching the game where, you know, after they convert that fourth down and then it's like, oh, shit, we're going to lose. And then it's, God, we're going to lose to the Bears. It's like, oh, the streak's over. And then we end up winning. And I'm like, oh, thank God, now my week isn't ruined. But then even like 2-3 hours later, I'm like, oh, I don't feel as good as I should feel.
That's
like, optimist.
Yeah. So like, I remember like after the game, everyone's like, oh, hooray. We won. And I'm like, but we suck. Like that sucked.
It sucked. Okay, and I'll get through this. So we're going to break down the game, take news. We're going to talk about Mark Murphy. Oh, my God. Thank God he's getting more accolades. The Jets, whatever they're doing, we'll talk about that briefly. Aaron Rodgers, is he going to go to the Vikings? I don't fucking know. We'll have some spending Packers trivia and preview the Niners game. But yes, this game sucked. It sucked. Okay, so there's still some little things out there. One, there was a stat, I don't know who said this. The Packers had 6 drives. We put up 60 or more yards on 5 of them. So all but one, like we moved the ball really well. And then on defense, it's like, I know we say it kind of as a joke, but this was one, like the franchise, the team, the fan base mostly, their Super Bowl. But also, like this is the last effort this team's really going to put out. Because one, you're playing your rival. They have to be sick of fucking losing to the Packers. Even in the offseason, like players on the Bears still talk shit. And they're like the one guy, I forgot who it was. He's like, I'm not losing to the Packers this year. And what do you know? They lost. But it's also like they fired their offensive coordinator. They have a brand new guy in there. And they're going to change everything up. Like, you know, Caleb was sacked 8 times, 9 times the week before against New England. And what do you know? They come out and it's like the number one thing they told Caleb was, you got to get rid of the ball as fast as possible. And we probably should have adjusted to that a little bit quicker. I think maybe we should have contained him a little bit better, which is not good. But I'm feeling better now than I did after the game. Yep.
Caleb has wheels a little bit. I was shocked when Edgerrin Cooper on multiple spies.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were true spies or not, but like where he's in like a position to like make the tackle. And granted, the angle wasn't good, but like normally that angle on a quarterback is sufficient. And Caleb turned the corner on him. I know for sure twice. I was slightly shocked at the time. Like that was wild.
He didn't look fast like when he first took off.
It's like then, Rodgers.
Yeah, he's like a big version of Kyler Murray, like the style of running where he's just like upright, like his back doesn't move at all. He's just like, it's very strange. And he's like holding the ball out. And that's what was probably the biggest reason why the game sucked to watch, because like I have it written down somewhere, but the Bears were like 9 for 15 on third down, I want to say, and it was always Caleb just scrambling and picking it up, which is just so fucking frustrating, because the one thing this our defense has been really good at this year is my volume went down there for whatever reason, is our third down defense. But it's like they weren't expecting Caleb to run like this, which he really hadn't done too much of this year. And it was just getting to third manageable. And then every time it seemed like Caleb would find some way to pick it up.
Yeah. And he, I mean, to his credit, he looked better. I haven't watched a ton of Bears games, probably like three though. And like, he looked way better than any of the other games I've seen him play. And like, props to our defensive line for making him look good, never pressuring him, it seemed, the entire game. So, hats off to us.
We did when it mattered.
Yeah, kind of. But, like, he looked to me the best that I've seen him look all year. I don't know. I mean, he was, like, around 75% completion percentage. Didn't throw for a touchdown. Also didn't throw for a pick. Like, it wasn't, like, an impressive day at the office, but, like, for him this year, was this his best game? I don't know. It seems like it was up there.
I don't know. And I still feel like we're in a very weird period of everything right now, but just reactions to shit. Cause like, even this week, people are saying like, with the rookie quarterbacks, who would you want for your franchise right now? Like, obviously you would want,
is that a real question?
Well, you would want Daniels. You'd want Jaden Daniels. But after that, people are saying like Bo Nix or Drake May. And I'm like, I think I'd still want Caleb. I mean, coming out of the draft or going into the draft, I like Caleb, then Drake May, then Daniels. Daniels is just, I still feel like he's going to break. He just doesn't look like a quarterback to me. But it's like Bo Nix and shit. It's like, are we really going to base? Are we going to think Caleb's going to have a bad career because of his first 10 games with one of the shittiest offensive coordinator in the league? Like, I still think he's going to be a decent player, but there was some flashes of that on Sunday.
I think if you put Caleb on a different team, you'd obviously want Caleb over, I mean, I'm not going to say Jaden, obviously, but like, you'd want Caleb over a lot of these, like, because he has all the tools. He's just stuck on the Bears. He's just stuck with maybe one of the shittier franchises in the last 20 years.
Like the shittiest, yes.
Literally. I mean, the Browns will give anybody a run for their money if we're talking about dumpster fires. But I mean, the Bears, as far as they're the worst team in the NFC. Right? In the last 20 years?
No. They still went to a Super Bowl with Cutler. I mean, Rex Grossman, and they had
maybe if I said most runs. Disappointing. Maybe that's a better way to say it.
Yeah.
Because even when they're good, they're not good.
I suppose. I guess the last 10 years, I would say maybe they're really down there. But I mean, this game too. So back to like the demoralizing process of the game or the ending of the game. Lining up for that field goal, what were you thinking when that was happening?
You know this because I text you this. I said, when we miss the 2-point conversion,
I said,
that's the end of the game. Our defense couldn't stop them, and all they had to do was go down and kick a field goal. And so, like, I mean, if I was the Bears, I would have been super confident at that point, just the way that the game had played out. And so I just was like, I was just preparing myself for the loss. There was a little glimmer of hope because we're playing the Bears and because like Caleb has been just like not good, that he was going to do something dumb and throw a pick or something like that. But then when we got down there, they crossed the 50, and I just was like, this is really not feel good. And like, how often do you see blocking a kick was not in my head? Like, that was not a thing. I was hoping for a miss, of course. But yeah, I wasn't nervous. I thought the game was over. I thought we'd lost.
I felt halfway decent. I didn't, that last pass, I was like, oh, we're fucked. But then when they like ran it and then they didn't try to get closer, I was like, well, that's strange. Again, fucking Eberflus.
You mean when there was like
genius.
15, 20 seconds?
Yeah.
And
then they didn't try to run another play. And what gave me confidence, well, one, it's the Bears in a game-winning field goal situation. They are prone to fuck this up.
But they have a good kicker, right? Like, Santos is like decent, right?
He's been decent. But after the final defensive play, and I should have went and looked back, TJ Slayton was like pumped. He was like clapping his hands, getting riled up. Like he knew that they were going to have a chance to block that field goal. And did you see what LaFleur said after the game?
Yeah, I did see that he said that.
He said
they were told the night before that they were going to block a kick, right?
So Rich Bisaccia, I fucking despise Rich Bisaccia. Since A.J. Dillon's been off the team, Rich has kind of been the one who I've taken my aim at. So LaFleur in the postgame presser says, Rich said Saturday night, I will not understand if we come out of this game and we don't block a kick. Carl Brooks, who blocked the kick, said he went into that knowing he was going to block the kick. Like he, it was in his mind, it was going to happen. And TJ Slayton looked confident too. And I really, I said this earlier this week too. If Rich Bisaccia wasn't our special teams coordinator for this game, I don't think we win it. Because if you're trying to focus on something or, you know, yeah, have the special teams focus on something, that was the one thing he picked that week, and it worked. I don't know if they emphasized something else or nothing at all if we blocked that kick. You know, he incepted that into the kick-blocking team's mind, and then it fucking worked out. You know, so we're overpaying for him. But this week, it's like whatever salary is, $2 million, totally worth it to beat the Chicago Bears. Because I don't think we win that game if we don't have him in that situation.
And I don't, like, special teams wasn't bad or anything. It wasn't like the kick stood out as, like, the only thing that the special teams did. Like, I didn't feel like we had a bad special teams day at all.
No,
just was, the defense was bad and the offense was just lackluster in every way. Except for Christian Watson. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. Offense couldn't finish. Defense was, yes, up and down. And then we won't get into the refs, but God, it's some of that shit. It's crazy how, like, 10 years ago, and we still, I think we kind of know what a catch is now, but now we don't know what a fucking false start or offsides is, apparently.
It is weird.
Like, it varies, which I don't understand.
There was the one play where they blew dead, which actually I think Brady had a good explanation on that. I don't know. Were you listening to the?
Yes, I did. Okay. Brady was much better this week than he was.
He was much better this week. I will give him credit for that. He was way better.
We have him again this week too.
Oh, that's right. Because what is his award that he gives out? Like the Let's Fucking Go award or something like that, which is the dumbest thing. But
so lame.
I saw somebody tweet like Christian Watson has the opportunity to get the only back-to-back or the first back-to-back Let's Fucking Go award, which is like,
wow.
Oh, cool. It's like this year's, it's the beginning of the award. Who cares? Anyways, what I was saying was they gave the explanation, which when they blew the whistle dead on the, it was a neutral zone infraction. But since the offensive line moved before the snap, I think that actually is a rule.
But it's a new rule because they're trying to get rid of it. And it's still kind of I don't think they always call it.
But what it is the center has to snap the ball. So if the center snaps the ball, then it doesn't matter. And then it's a free play.
Yeah.
So the center has to snap it, not the guard move, right? That's the play. Which I feel like we've had guys in the past that do that.
But they're not consistent calling this shit. Because then later in the game, too, we get the Bears jump early. Off the end, it was whoever was over the right tackle or Zach Tom, and he's early. He's chasing down Jordan Love, and they don't blow that play dead. You know, that's what pissed me off. It's like you're trying to have these things in there to protect the quarterback. I know it's different. It's different or whatever, but it's just
different. I'm okay as long as they call it as the rule book says. But I feel like sometimes when they're doing the shit,
complicated it with the rule book.
It is complicated.
When Rodgers was at his prime with his, you know, checks at the line and hard account and shit, it was simple then. Now they made it more complicated to get that out of the game. It's like, why don't we keep it in the game? And
the only time they blew it. Yes, the only time they blew before was unabated to the quarterback. We all knew what that meant as Packer fans, because as long as nobody had a free release on Aaron Rodgers, it was a free play, and they were going. And I think they should go back to that. Sometimes I wonder, like, and we've talked about this before at nauseam probably, but like the NFL just changes rules just to change rules. Like, what are they? It's just to, I don't know.
It's dumb.
It's confused us. I don't know.
Again, like, even so, you know, the Bears, Eberflus in his Monday presser said that they were talking to the league about how there should have been a flag for the kick at the end because we touched the long snapper. The NFL has so many fucking rules now, and I've bitched about this in the past, where they're adding this shit, because this is a new rule within the last 5 years too. They're adding this shit. They're not consistent with calling it my conspiracy brain so that they can control the outcome of some of these games. If they're not consistent with calling these penalties, you can decide the outcome of this game. If there's three calls that go the wrong way, and you know most of these games end up being a one-score game anyways, like it's just ridiculous how complicated they're making it, especially for these refs that are part-time players. We should move on to actual Packers football.
Yeah, I will conspiracy theory with you on many things, but the NFL being conspiracy is one thing that I'm like, yeah.
We'll see. Let's see if the Chiefs make it to a third consecutive Super Bowl. Moving on, offense. God, Jordan Love, 13 for 17. Didn't ask him to do a hell of a lot. 261 yards, one touchdown, one pretty, pretty bad pick. Decisions... I mean, his throwing was still inconsistent. The pick over Tucker Kraft was just rough. It's just the red zone INTs are always going to be tough. But, like, his decision-making was better. Watching him, like, he threw one out of the back of the end zone, I believe, and then there was a little check down to Jacobs that he threw out of bounds intentionally, it seemed like. It's like, this is much, much better. I felt Fair. Better Yep. about Jordan Love in this game. The red zone offense, still not great. We're 27th in the league, which is the worst under Matt LaFleur. It feels like outside of that 1 year in 2020 with the gold zone, our red zone offense yeah. has been really bad. We were the best in goal-to-go situations last year, but still like below average in the red zone, which is very odd. And the red zone, too. I am done with the jet sweeps, and I still think we should run it twice for every pass in the red zone at this point. But Jordan Love again, I mean... Probably, I heard like fucking Ryan Wood said this was his best game of the season. I think that's just because he's trying to push this narrative that Jordan Love is playing hurt, and that's why he was throwing these picks earlier in the season, even though it was clearly decision making. But I still think the Cardinals game, he was better. But good game. I like this. He looked healthy. He looked like late season 2023 Jordan Love again.
I will say, too, like I did. So he played a good game. If you take away the red zone interception, which was just a shitty ball, that yeah. ball was bad.
It would have been a touchdown for Kraft, too.
His other worst decision that I think was the deep ball to Christian Watson yes. in double coverage. Yes. And I'm just saying that it worked out, but Kraft was wide fucking open
yes.
underneath those two deep defenders. And so it's like, if you're Christian Watson is a Ferrari, but like give the ball to the monster truck. If you ever have the opportunity, like give it to our sweet baby boy, Tucker Kraft, every time you have the opportunity, because that dude, he's like a bit of an anomaly. Like every time I see him with the ball in his hands, which did he touch the ball once?
No, that was his Sad. Only target.
Also, that's a fail in the game planning. I don't know, whatever it is, that can't happen.
He
again.
Should, if we're going to, he and Christian Watson should be the red zone.
Yes.
And Josh Jacobs, obviously.
And I was just going to say Josh Jacobs and our boy Chris Brooks.
We can't name... Okay. Yeah, who? I don't know. He might go down to a zero skill level in the red zone with the one pass that he's... seemingly the worst pass of his NFL career so far, or worst play of his NFL career.
Yeah. That's yeah. actually... Yeah, as far as we've seen, anyway. Anyways, yeah. Jordan Love played good. Like... The opportunity cost, maybe there's a lot that could have been done there, but the offense in general just underperformed. Jordan Love did. He was not the reason the offense was bad. There's the shitty pick or whatever that he threw. Outside of that, like, I did think he played fine, but he didn't shoulder the load at all. Like, that's the other thing is like a couple big plays. That's about it.
He did give some shoulders, though. That was interesting. It just shows you yes. how bad the red zone offense is, too, where it's like he's, what, we're That's 8 right. yards out or something, and it's 4th down or 6 yards out, and he's scrambling. I was like, fuck it. Like, sure. Let's see if you can do it. Like, I'm sure guys were covered. And I don't think he scored on that one. I thought that was a terrible fucking challenge, too. We had so little to
gain. Bad challenge. I agree.
I couldn't believe going on Twitter and people were like, that's a touchdown. I'm like, who fucking cares? We're trying to run the clock out a little bit here, yeah. too. And we're on the 1-inch line. Of course, he runs it in right after. But it was nice. Again, he looks healthy. And I love seeing that moxie out of our quarterback, too.
I do love that. I love... It's like twofold for me, where you're like, when he gets in the red zone and he's like swim moving with the ball up in the air, I'm like, I hate that. But at the same time, like, I love when he puts his shoulder down and hits a dude, and like,
ew,
like, that's gotta fire up your team a little
only
bit. Like,
corners,
as a dude,
only corners, we should be doing that.
Fair enough. Like, as right as like somebody who also wants Jordan Love to play in the playoffs, I don't love that, but like, it does fire up your team a little bit when you watch your quarterback go down there and truck a guy, or like, you know what I mean? Like, make a hit. So like, I can see that. Like, the toughness factor, I feel like, has definitely been, it's trending upwards since Aaron Rodgers left, which is a lot of fun to see, like, a tough team, especially going to the playoffs. So I don't know. Jordan Love, still love him. I'd like to see next week shoulder that load a little bit more. Let's throw the ball. We're going to need it against the Niners. So, but he looked, decision making was good, like you said, threw the ball away when he needed to, and he's, you know, if he hits Tucker on that pick, we're not complaining. So
I should probably, I think you're right, this is off recording talk, but maybe we should just do pass offense, run offense, but we'll stick with the wideouts. Yeah, Christian Watson, 4 for 150, the huge catch and run. So the catch and run was great. I kind of wish he didn't. I kind of wish he didn't.
At the timing of the play?
Because the whole time I'm like, God, we're at that awkward, like, 3.5 minutes left, and you knew it was going to, like, once the Bears got the ball, we weren't going to get it again, and you kind of want to eat that clock out, but fucking Christian Watson, you can't really complain. That play, the fourth down catch, the deep bomb between the two guys, still kind of a weird, like, he jumped up, but it came down into, like, his bread basket where he caught it. Like, he still doesn't really high point the ball much.
Yeah, I don't love that.
His first 150-yard receiving game, too, which, for all the accolades he had his rookie year, I was surprised to see that was the first time this had happened. Romeo Doubs, well, I restarted. Romeo Doubs led the receivers in snaps with 78, and he only ended up with that one catch for 17 yards, which was like the first throw of the game, I think, where he looked really good and he was like pumped. He like brushed his shoulders off after, and he didn't see the ball again afterwards. And then he had that terrible drop on third down. God, the fourth down completion really saved him, because that was brutal. Jaden Reed had that touchdown.
Yeah, that one sucked.
Again, he didn't really do much after that, and that was a free play, which was cool to see, you know, some throwback Packer shit. And it was weird watching how Burkhart and Brady were like, oh, there's a flag on the play. We got to see what this is. And it's like, how do you guys not know that there was an extra guy on the field? Like, I think just about anyone watching the game.
It was weird that they didn't say that, because, like, normally the commentators call out, especially, like, because we can't see the whole field, but they can see the guy running off the field.
Yeah. And then Wicks just had the one target, too.
It says Kraft had a target. Did he actually have a target? Oh, the interception was the target. Duh.
I just made a face at Todd as he was walking us through that there. But yeah, and it's, I do feel like this seems better for snap counts and stuff. I don't know about Romeo, but again, I set it for my prediction for the rest of the season that Christian Watson will turn into wide receiver 2. Good start for that. But again, it's just Reed, Watson, Kraft, Josh Jacobs. Stick with that. And I mean, I feel like that's the recipe for success for this team.
Jacobs on the check down, too. I literally think that is like, if you can get Jacobs the ball early in the reads, right? Like, if 1-2 are not there, when Jacobs gets the ball with like 3 yards ahead of him, he's making dudes miss. Like, that's almost like peak Josh Jacobs. Because, like, in space, that dude is so good. So I like seeing that when that check down gets there quick. And, like, obviously we saw for years, too, that, like, that was obviously a problem. But, like, Jordan seems like when he's on, like, that check down is coming out fast, which is fun to watch.
Yeah. And, I mean, Josh Jacobs, again, really good game. 18 carries, 76 yards, like a 4.2 average. But, God, it still felt better than that. He also had 4 receptions for 58 yards. I feel like that's a high for him on the Green Bay Packers. That one catch he had down the sideline, that is not a play a running back usually makes. Very, very impressive. It was it was one of those where he caught, I was like, ooh. And then I saw Jaden Reed come in and like blindside block the guy. I'm like, ooh, is that coming back? And I guess he was enough ahead of him.
He did a great job putting his hands in the air, though. You're automatically not getting a flag if you put your hands up.
Yeah, he clearly didn't do anything. But yeah, Josh Jacobs, again, the consistent piece of this offense. Chris Brooks, we talked about him a little bit, but again, he just looks good. And I do think, I think it was 2 weeks ago you asked who's going to get cut, which doesn't matter now because Marshawn Lloyd went back right. on IR. That poor dude, he's finally healthy-ish, and then he gets appendicitis and has to get his spleen. Not his spleen, your fucking...
Appendix.
Appendix, duh.
Yeah.
His appendix removed, but Chris Brooks, again, he had that one nice catch where it looked like it might have been a gain of nothing. He picked up a first down, and he plays special team snaps. Emmanuel Wilson does not, so I would think that's some job security for him as well.
Were you surprised that Emmanuel Wilson didn't get more touches after his two carries were good?
Yeah, they just must feel really good about Brooks's pass blocking, and Josh Jacobs was just having such a good game. It was tough take either one of them off there. And again, we saw it more this week, if there's two backs out there at a time, it's Josh Jacobs and Brooks, because Brooks seems to be the more trusting pass blocking back of the entire group at this point.
And he's the 2 minute guy, right?
Yes, he seemingly has. We've said it this year, but it's crazy how it's like it was Patrick Taylor last year and it's Chris Brooks this year for being like the 2 minute, pass blocking guy. O-line, I don't know if there's much to talk about here. Same lineup. I mean, Josh Myers was back. Sean Ryan and Zach Tom are kind of good in the run game. When Ryan whiffs, he whiffs. But there's other times where it's like, holy shit, that's the Green Bay Packers running the football. The two-point conversion play where we just ran on Rashid Walker's side, that was bad. It's like, how are we... I don't mind running it on a two-point conversion, but behind Rashid, that's the guy that you felt good enough about,
Well, and especially when the duo of Zach Tom and Sean Ryan was seemingly doing so well for the day. I mean, you don't want to just do that all day and run behind your, run on the right side all day. But like, man, it's almost like just put a hat on a hat and make it happen, especially when you've got Josh Jacobs in the backfield who can make a guy miss. Like, that makes you feel better. I don't know.
Yeah, you're
revisionist is easy, but
yeah, you're outthinking yourself. And I saw a stat today too where Rashid Walker he's given up one sack this year. I forgot what it is, but he's one of the best pass blocking offensive tackles all year. Sneaky been very, very reliable again, being a seventh round draft pick who's just been our left tackle is pretty fucking nuts. With that, we'll have a quick commercial break.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And we are back with the defense. The defense, not a very good performance. I don't know if it's worse than the Jags game. I'm still giving Halfley the benefit of the doubt with an unscouted offensive coordinator and Caleb Williams and just like a fresh... they were rejuvenated going into this game. I said it at the top, too.
Yeah.
There was some fresh blood. DJ Moore didn't do anything that showed he was frustrated. Whatever. It's not like that's the huge thing out of this. But again, yeah. So the Bears were 9 of 16 on third down. Packers were 1 of 5 on third down, just to like show how things were. One of the reasons why we felt so demoralized throughout the game.
Yeah.
No turnovers, didn't force any turnovers, and we got to start with the pass rush. I don't even know if we can call it pedestrian.
It's not.
At least it popped up at the end, but God, I was getting so sick of seeing Caleb in that stupid little celebration thing he was doing at the end of his runs, and we didn't hit him once. I don't think we hit him a single fucking time. We got that stupid flag out of bounds, but then just the shit where he was sliding, I'm like... Just hit him once, because he's going to keep doing this shit until we rattle his cage, and we weren't able to do that, which upset me.
Also, the dumbest penalty in the world when Xavier McKinney is like trying to punch the ball. He doesn't push him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Super dumb. back to the pass rush, it was horrible. It was pedestrian is like the understatement of the year. The only thing they did was at the very end of the game. And it was just, it's just like you watch them line up and even like the blitzes weren't doing shit. And like that is not a good offensive line. And they even had a guy get injured in the middle of the game, didn't they?
Yeah, you're right. God, I had forgotten about
God.
That. But I mean, Caleb was getting rid of the ball quick.
He was climbing running. The pocket and bailing, which fine, but he didn't have to either. Like the pocket wasn't really collapsing. He was kind of happy feeding it.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. I mean, and then
in the one where JJ Nubari jumps on him,
yeah,
and patty cakes him.
Yeah,
it's like he didn't even have to climb the pocket on that one either. He had a pocket.
I guess, but we got to him pretty quick those first two plays on that final drive. Like,
yeah,
the pocket did shrink, which I scared my dog.
That last drive was the anomaly.
Yes,
the last drive was the anomaly. The whole rest of the game was bad.
Well, okay. Well, we'll get to something else that I think was good that you're overlooking. But Quay, okay. I mean, this was the Quay. But we saw both sides of it too. We see why we're in this situation because we have two guys who aren't talented. I mean, they're more talented than me. Eric Wilson and Isaiah McDuffie. You know, and then we have Cooper, and then we have Quay. And they're very athletic, but they're dummies. You know, Quay on fourth down elected to put his hands up instead of sacking Caleb Williams for whatever reason.
Yes.
Cooper got ate up a couple times on those terrible angles on Caleb Williams, which is like, again, we're seeing why Cooper isn't getting the amount of snaps that we want him to. At the same time, Quay playing 100% of the snaps, I don't get why he has the green dot. It should. We've said it earlier in the year, too. X is the leader of this defense right now. He's out there 100% of the plays, too. He's lining guys up anyways. Fucking just give it to him and let's figure something else out.
Why is it that they don't... How many safeties have the dot?
I don't know. I know back in the day, Morgan Burnett, I believe, wore it.
Back in the day, but safeties don't get the dot anymore.
I haven't looked around enough. I don't think it's that big. Okay, yeah, you fucking piece of shit. Yeah, I think it still happens in the league. Not like it's.
I would agree though that Quay is not the guy you're giving the dot to at this point in time. Like I understood at the beginning of the season because did he have the dot last year? Devondre had the dot.
Yes,
and then he got the dot later in the year, I believe. Right, obviously with injuries and stuff. But I don't understand at this point getting the dot. That's the thing is I'm like, well, he's been hurt. Like you could transition it to somebody else and then leave it. I would totally agree that X could have the dot. I mean, that makes way more sense. Everything's in front of you as a safety. You see everything. I don't know. Maybe it's hard to make line shifts would be the only thing is like, because a lot of times you do see linebackers going like, hey, like shift over, but sure. I don't think Quay's shifting the line ever either. So it's like, what are we losing?
Did you see the shot of him on the sideline when they huddled the defense up?
Yes. When he was trying to like get everybody fired up. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough to watch.
I don't know if everyone was keeping like a straight. That would just be a rough situation to be put in. We saw it on Twitter too. It's the, Tim Robinson, I think you should leave banana or hot dog.
No, hot dog.
We're all trying to find
the whoever
guy.
Did this should just get in their car and leave.
So the other thing, there's a couple things to talk about, which personnel moves that I think we thought would we've been asking for and we saw and things we did not see. So trading away Preston Smith, we were like, oh, LVN, he's finally going to get more snaps here. LVN had 24 snaps. JJ had 41. LVN had just two more snaps than Brenton Cox Jr. So Brenton Cox Jr. had a tackle for loss. He had that sack. I mean, both he was unblocked, but it's nice to see someone make some plays. And plus, just having him out there, he is that different body type that this team hasn't had recently. Obviously, we were a 3-4 defense, now being a 4-3. And I go back, I wish I had the clip of Goody. They were asked about, hey, do you have to draft different types of ends now? He's like, no, I think we still kind of go with the system. And I'm like, I don't think you should go with your system after seeing Rashawn Gary, who I think has been mixed results throughout his career just because of how long it took for him to develop. And now LVN, who's barely out-snapping an undrafted free agent in Brenton Cox. The thing... So I'm going to play a couple clips here. This first clip, so this was last week when Jeff Hafley was asked about, you know, who's going to be more so talk about Aaron Mosby and Brenton Cox for replacing Preston Smith. And again, here it's one, what he's saying, and then we'll play the Lucas Van Ness one, but how he's saying it too, and his tone and how excited he is. So here's that clip.
And you watch our offense versus our show team, and you focus in on some guys, and they start jumping out every single day. And if our offense is having a tough time blocking certain guys, or, you know, you get a guy who's all of a sudden making a ton of plays on the ball, you start really watching them. And I think both of those guys really started to jump out. I think there was a string of two practices where, you know, Cox, I just thought he looked like he was ready to go. And, you know, it's really cool to see when guys earn their opportunity. And I think he's a really good example of that. And I am really, really excited for him, along with Mosby. And Mosby obviously got the playing time a little bit against Detroit, so we're trying to get him going. And now he'll have a bigger role. But for a guy like Cox to get his time now and to do it the right way in practice and not say anything and just keep working, I'm really excited for him. So we'll see what he can do.
So on that clip too, he's saying, like, you know, someone who's earned it. Someone who's earned it. Remember, he had two less snaps than Lucas Van Ness. And he sounds genuinely excited for Brenton Cox to play more. So now here's Hafley talking about Lucas Van Ness.
Lucas Van Ness had a slow start to his rookie season a year ago, but he came on really strong late. How do you unlock what you saw on film from him last year? Where do you think he is right now?
Well, I think you see some of that this year, right? I think he's had flashes, certainly in the run game. I think he's playing really well. I mean, we're playing pretty good run defense overall, and he's a huge part of that. And then there's moments when he's had some, you know, nice rushes and good plays in the pass game. It's just going to be about being consistent and keep working at it, which he's done.
The way he says that, and just the, like, inflection of his voice at the end, I don't think he's very happy with the way Lucas Van Ness, I don't know if anyone is, with how Lucas has played this year. And even the compliment he's giving, he doesn't really say Lucas is playing great. He's like, well, our run defense has been good, and we play him more, you know, on the run D, too. And even looking at this, I wonder if Jair didn't go out, because Brenton Cox played that first half quite a bit. But once it became a game and we were kind of playing from behind and up and down and there was a lot more running situations, I think Hafley was like, we got to pull Cox and we got to just keep the big boys out there. But I don't know. I think we're seeing some signs that LVN's arrow is pointing down and Brenton Cox is clearly pointing up.
I mean, I think I would totally agree with the arrow. The arrow's down for everybody on the starting as far as pass rush, all the arrows are down.
Rashawn's is like maybe a little bit up, like maybe it's parallel, what? But like a tiny bit up.
Are we saying because he was at zero? Is this only up from here?
I mean, okay. Who else would you feel good about for like the ends outside of Cox?
I feel better about JJ than I do about Gary.
But hey, Gary finished his sack this week.
This stutter step. It's just like it's melting my brain.
I have always hated it. There's always this weird
I know
chuck.
You have. I didn't hate it as much. And I saw him do it. I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. It was like a weird play. Was there a fumble or something like that? I can't remember what happened. Where like he was like in a different position on the field. And I was like, what are you doing? It was like rushing. Or maybe he was like out on like a screen or something. That's what it was. It was a screen. And he did like his stutter step thing in space, like against a guard. And I'm like, just run through him. Like, what do you... It melts my brain. Anyways, I just like the whole... That front four is just like, they're trending down for me. Throw any warm body in there. Let's see what they can do. Aaron Mosby, Brenton Cox, whatever. Who else can we throw in there? Put Quay at the end.
Yes.
I would love it. Do it.
You laughed at me. You laughed at me earlier this year when I was suggesting.
No, I agreed with you after a week. Because I thought about it and I was what?
After a week. I was going to say, don't make me pull the tape because I don't want to have to go back and fucking find it. But you literally were laughing at me.
I think I did bring it up the next week, and I was like, you know what? That's not a bad idea.
It wasn't even that. It was you were talking to someone else. You were talking to Shay, and you said, hey, Shay said this. And I'm like, no, I fucking said that last week.
Regardless, like, put him on the edge. But also, like, I see him in the gaps, too, and I'm like, well, if that's what we're going to get when he's got a free release on the quarterback, then I don't want that either. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anything's better than what we're doing. We got to change something up. And the pressure works when the pressure works against quarterbacks that suck. But, like, Caleb wasn't phased when we brought pressure at all, which is interesting, too. Like, against Jared Goff, when you brought a little bit of pressure, he was freaked out. But it's like, we can't depend on that either.
Moving on to the pass D again. I mean, Jair Alexander getting hurt was huge. Like I said, Brenton Cox kind of was taken out of the game after that. However, the big thing with that is Stokes only played 4 snaps and Carrington Valentine took over at the outside corner spot. Justice Mosqueda wrote about this week, how Valentine is like second in the league for yards allowed per pass route, which is like one of he used to work for the XFL and he said this was a stat like we all looked at. And even if you look at it around the league, it's like the best corners are up there. And Carrington Valentine is number 2. So hopefully we see more of him. Huh. That would alleviate a lot of stress when we haven't had much depth at outside corner this year. But again, with Jair, I mean, it feels like we might be getting in that weird situation again where he played 10 snaps, I think, and then he pulled himself out of the game. LaFleur did say post-game that they were going to limit his snaps or he was on a pitch count, which is kind of weird. I don't know why you would do that at a corner spot, but yeah. They even like didn't suit up Robert Rochelle, who they called up to the 53 after putting Jordan Morgan on the IR. And I think it really did affect the game because, again, it's like you have a game plan going in and you kind of have to throw it out when one of your top players isn't going to be able to suit up. It's just, it's a tough spot. And I'm going to play another clip again. So this is last year. This is when we had bad Jair. This was asshole Jair. And I know we played this clip last year because I still have the clip. But again, this shows you Jair isn't going to play unless he feels 100%.
Do you feel any... I know, you can't control getting injured when you dive for an interception, but you're the highest paid cornerback in NFL history. You make $21 million a year. Do you feel pressure to be on the field?
I mean, there's always pressure. There's always pressure. I'm the type of person I always want to put my best foot forward. So I feel like if I can't put my best foot forward, then it's just tough to even be out there.
If I can't put my best foot forward, then it's tough to even be out there. I think in Jair's language, that means if I'm not 100%, I'm not out there. And you can't see the video because this is a podcast, but he's got his white glasses on and he's got the fucking wrestling belt over his shoulder. So it was like, okay, thanks. Back, that was clown Jair there, but he's very important to this defense.
It is tough because I feel like he noticed that people were judging him when he was injured, playing through injuries, that he wasn't playing well and just kind of like ragging on him. Like, I feel like he's a guy that like looks at the news clippings, right? And he's like, oh, well, if I'm going to be judged when I'm 50%,
right,
and people are going to act like that, then I'm just going to only play when I'm 100%. And it's like, like, I kind of understand the idea there, but at the same time, it's like, man, that really hurts the team, because like we, even Jair at 50% is like, man, that's so much better than moving Keyshawn outside, so much better than having Stokes out there if we don't have to have him out there. Like, it just sucks. But like, I also understand too, like, that's kind of like when you get those diva, he's a bit of like a diva, and like that's kind of what you get. It sucks. But
I do wonder, I bet it's more than 0%. I would bet it's more than 0%. But how much Kevin King's Packer career is behind how Jair is kind of approaching playing through injuries? Because Kevin King was always banged up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the second to last year, he was playing through a couple injuries. In the NFC Championship game, he got absolutely destroyed when he was questionable going into that game. clearly wasn't himself and played terribly, and he was crucified for it. You know, people still give Kevin King shit because of it. And I feel bad for him because it was, wow, he's always hurt. Wow, he's always hurt. And then he's like, wow, he sucks. It's like, well, we were bitching about him for years, not playing through injuries. He finally does. It's like, this is the result. So maybe that has affected why Jair's doing this. But when you're one of the highest paid corners in the league, if you're hurt, just be hurt. I mean, the way he came down in Jacksonville was odd on that knee.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. I hope it doesn't turn into another one of these weird things.
There also is living to play another day. Like, if you did, like, a knee is a weird one. Like, if you screw up your knee, like, I get it. So there's, I mean, there's that. We don't really know what's going on. So I don't, just want to throw that out there.
Run D, I mean, I don't know. Swift was 14 for 71. I think he had a decent average. It was over 4 yards. Caleb Williams obviously ran all over us. And Roshan Johnson had 10 for 33. I was pissed. I was so pissed. And it's dumb. It's dumb. But how much, like, even Tom Brady was like, oh my God, look at this Braxton Jones block on Evan Williams. I'm like, he's got fucking 120 pounds on Evan Williams. I would hope he can blow him up.
I saw that was like a thing on Twitter, but like that was not like, I don't know. The hit sounds good, but then when you go back and you watch the replay, it's like, oh, that was a safety who's, you know, smaller than an average man. I'm just saying.
And that was an embarrassing play. I mean, that's the worst X's ever looked on that missed tackle, too. It was reminiscent of late.
That was some haha Clinton Dix shit.
Well, haha would have taken himself out of the play. I don't think haha actually like
tried. He would have ran with him for like 30 yards.
Exactly. He would have played patty cake as he was crossing.
Someone come help.
Yeah, but that was late stage Mike Pettine defense. I don't think we had a ton of those with Joe Barry. You know, that wasn't big plays let up in the run game, but it was just awful, awful. Special teams, Daniel Whelan had that really nice punt that I thought maybe would have gone out of bounds at like the one, but I mean, that's the only punt of the game that he had. And obviously, I mean, we had the block kick that was phenomenal. And I bitched about it. I always bitch about it. You know how everyone's complained about how they couldn't really see what was going on that play?
What do you mean?
On that final kick, like there was that delay of like, wait, it got blocked and where's the ball and stuff. Some people thought it hit the crossbar even. They used...
What?
Yeah, they used the fucking Skycam behind the kickoffs. So they have a wider fisheye lens so you can't see as much. Nobody wanted these fucking stupid Skycam angles, especially on kicks. Just put it behind the field goal post or on the opposite end of the field so we can see where the ball is going. When the camera is like 15 feet in the air, you don't have the field of vision to see how this kick is going, because I wasn't quite sure what was going on either watching it.
I'm confused. I didn't see an issue. I just saw the ball obviously losing elevation quickly, and I was like, oh, we blocked it.
But I didn't know until Burkhart said it was blocked. I couldn't see the fucking ball. I legit could not see the ball after he kicked it.
Oh, so you're saying just like you lost it in the stands.
Yeah, because of the fucking angle.
I gotcha.
It's so dumb. You're not improving the game. I hate everything. I'm glad we won the game. The Bears still suck. They're fucking 4-6. We are 7-3. Yes.
It is hilarious that that's how they lost. Like, that is...
Oh, God.
Like, we didn't deserve to win.
No, not at all.
But it's hilarious that that's how they lost.
And they've lost in such terrible ways this year, too, where it probably wasn't even as demoralizing as other losses. Like, the Hail Mary game that they lost, like, it's not as bad as that. The Patriots game was probably like, oh my God, we are this bad, and so many games in a row without a touchdown. But I don't know.
Like, it sucked that we gave him a touchdown. Like, that's was like the one thing that I was like, ah, that's just like no fun.
Yeah, but that was gonna happen. At least Caleb didn't throw one. With that, take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week. You know, I haven't been able to bitch much about this guy much this year, but I found a reason to. And maybe I'm wrong. But hey, Mark Murphy popped up once again in headlines this week and last week. So first, last week. And maybe I'm upset about something dumb here because it is charitable. However, This was tweeted out by Wes Hodkowitz, who obviously works for the Green Bay Packers. He's a great, you know, the guys who actually work for the team could be very, very biased, and maybe Wes is, but he's perfect for his role. I love Wes. He was great with the Green Bay Gazette. Anyways, he tweets, and this was last week, on Tuesday, the Packers and UW Green Bay announced the Mark Murphy Director of Athletics position at the university. The gift of $250,000 is being made by the Packers, in honor of the organization's longtime president and CEO as he approaches retirement in July after 17 seasons. The Packers gift will kickstart a fundraising campaign with a goal of $1 million that will help Phoenix student athletes. Okay, sure. What? Okay, this is dumb. This is dumb. But why? One way or another, dollars given to the Green Bay Packers through tickets, through stock, is going to, you know, UWGB for this position. Why isn't this position just called Director of Athletics? It's called the Mark Murphy Director of Athletics. He was the athletic director at Northwestern before becoming the president of the Green Bay Packers. But it's like, did we really need to find a way to celebrate this guy? Isn't it odd? Maybe this happens elsewhere, but it seems very braggadocious to me to have this announcement, right? Couldn't it just be from the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I think that's that's a good thought. I like that idea. Thank that you. It would just be like not the Mark Murphy position.
That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing about it.
And it's not to say that Mark said that this has happened. Like, I could definitely see somebody being like, hey, we would like to, in appealing to his ego, somebody could bring it up and be like, hey, we'd like to name this position the Mark Murphy position. I'm just saying, like, somebody could appeal to his ego. Like, if you're trying to get money from Mark, wouldn't you do that?
That's an issue, too. That's an issue in itself.
But wouldn't you do that?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess for $1 million, I guess. But I don't know right. if that's, like, I want to, what was this conversation? Because it was probably internal with the Packers, and they were like, well, how do we benefit from this? How do I benefit from this?
How,
like,
do the Packers benefit from this?
Nothing. I'm sure it's some charitable write-off or something, and it is nice to help out the community. Fine. You know, with the Resch Center is nearby, which I believe UWGB, at least they did back in the day for their basketball games.
Okay.
That part makes sense. The donation totally makes sense. But why? Why is his name attached to it? And I was going to talk about this because this was something that popped up last week. But then also it was announced this week that Mark Murphy is going to be going into the Packers Hall of Fame this offseason, which it's like, sure, I got upset with it at first because, one, he's the only one going into the Packers Hall of Fame this year. It's the Mark Murphy.
And right away,
which I got upset with. But then I looked it up because I don't want to be a hypocrite. So Bob Harlan, when he retired, it was the same exact thing. He was the only guy that was put in that class in 2004, 2005, I believe it was, as he was retiring. But at the same time, Bob Harlan saved this franchise. Like, Bob Harlan and Ron Wolf, if they didn't come around, I don't know if the Packers are still in Green Bay at this time.
Are you saying the Titletown District did not save the Packers?
But it's like, what are... They even asked him. So they had a little presser that was very awkward. And they asked Mark, like, what is your biggest accomplishment? And he's like, well, winning the Super Bowl. And I guess he's in kind of a tough spot because other than that, what would he say? Like, the Titletown District? But again, that Super Bowl in 2010 was... Who was put in place there? It was Mike McCarthy, it was Ted Thompson, it was Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Bob Harlan, you know, hired the guys to hire the guys for that to happen. Mark Murphy was not involved with that at all. And they even asked, like, the guy who's in charge of the Packers Hall of Fame, he's like, so why Mark Murphy? Why now? And he, like, very off-putting, was like, well, he's retiring and he should go in. It's like, I didn't look it up. I should have. I know there are players who should be going in. Like, even if just another player was going in this class, I wouldn't say anything. We would not have talked about Mark Murphy this week for this or the fucking UWGB thing. But it's just so... For a team that is supposed to be owned by the fans, I do not like how much Mark Murphy's accomplishments, I'm putting quotes up now, keep getting... And maybe I'm just ultra sensitive to it, but this guy really hasn't accomplished anything football-wise for this team. Again, I mean, he hired Matt LaFleur. He hired Goody, which were both great hires. Outside of that, it's like, yeah, you bought some fucking land and you had Ed Policy right. figure out what we should use it for. Like that.
That's his legacy, right? I mean, yeah. Titletown is his legacy.
Yeah.
That's it.
And, you know, the 2-0 Saints under Darren Rizzi, you know, we couldn't have him as a special. The divisional round loss to the 49ers, I 100% pin on Mike McCarthy because of the special teams totally falling apart. And that was his doing because he did not let Matt LaFleur hire Darren Rizzi in his initial coaching staff hiring process. I still, that is 100%.
You said Mike McCarthy, you meant Mark Murphy.
Thank you. Yes, yes. So fine.
Can I throw this out there too? When I saw the $250,000 donation, I immediately was like, how much money were we trying to shave off of the city, you know, the contract with the city right. for Lambeau Field? Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know what the number is. Maybe it's more than $250,000, but I just was like, and I get it's a donation. And so you can tax write off. Like it's a completely different financial game. And somebody who's in finance would definitely be like, well, it's completely different, mm-hmm. but like, it does give a weird optic to be like, we're going to give away $250,000. We are trying to shave off $5 million over 10 years.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. Like,
yeah. For those that don't know or haven't kept up, there's this weird relationship right now between the city of Green Bay and the Packers because the Packers are trying to change.
Well, the Packers are making it weird.
Yes. They're trying to change the lease going forward so that they have to pay Green Bay less. And of course, all the fans are going to be on the Packers' side because it's very easy. But they're also controlling the narrative with this like they did with Rodgers and Davante Adams. And
are you on the Packers' side with that one? I don't know. I feel like if you really laid it out for Packers fans, you'd be like, okay, like we're the Packers made an agreement. And now they're trying to go back on the agreement and say, like, we want to pay less for the stadium.
There isn't an agreement in place. It's the future lease agreement is what they were in talks with. And then the yes. Packers, like, changed things at the very end when they were going to, like, they had a bunch of verbal agreements. And
because they had verbal agreements,
and then
yes.
the Packers came in, like, on a Friday, sent it over, and they changed a bunch of shit. And the right. mayor's like, what the fuck? And, like, I even watched it was, like, the city council of Green Bay. They were like, we don't even want to do this. And they were like, but this is just, we love the Packers. We don't want to have to do this. But it's, like, all the things that the Packers are asking for, there's a bunch of... We got to keep up with it during the offseason here, too, because it's like agreements for like this historic Packers trail thing that the city wants to put an apartment by. There's a bunch of different weird things going on.
Okay, so weird stuff going on.
And again, and I don't know if it's a Mark Murphy thing or an Ed Policy thing that they're letting him take care of because he's going to be the guy in the future. And I don't know if they'd let Mark set up problems for him. But either way, it's just bleh, bleh. I hate it.
My whole point was like, it's like, oh, we're giving away. We made all this commotion about the future contract. And then it's like, and then we just gave 250 grand.
Yeah.
Which I get it's apples and oranges, but I'm like, it just seems like a dumb look yeah. to be like, we're going to pinch pennies here on the stadium.
And Rasul Douglas and Aaron Jones. Yeah.
Just minor details.
Last thing, we don't have to talk about this because I'm sure people love Aaron Rodgers, but oof-da, man. If there's one thing I was wrong about, not like, I mean, I was fine with it at the time. I said I was fine with it, but it's not what I would have done. But man, did we move on from Aaron Rodgers at the right, the fucking perfect time.
Mint. Just the perfect time.
Because if I knew, I don't know, there's no reason to play Captain Hindsight, but... Now Joe Douglas getting fired today. Robert Saleh is here in Green Bay as assistant, whatever, offensive coach type deal, internal scouting, blah, blah, blah. Aaron Rodgers is probably not going to play for the Jets next year. There's this other report from Diana Rossini, which I don't believe anything she really says because all she ever does is tweet the same thing Schefter
okay.
or report tweet 2 minutes after.
Wow. Sorry, Diana.
The only scoop she's ever had was Aaron Jones signing with the Vikings, which I think Jason Wilde found out and was the source for that. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways, where was with this? Oh. Apparently, Woody Johnson wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers, and the coaching staff was like, no, no, no. So it's if that's true, and even just the whole scheme, or not scheme change, but they're going to, you know, have a new coach, new GM. Aaron Rodgers might not play for the Jets next year. Where do you think he would go, and why is it the Minnesota Vikings?
God, do you think he would?
I don't know.
Would they want him?
If Darnold, I see some shit like Darnold's going to ask for a long-term contract from his next team, and I'm like, I don't think he's getting a long-term contract. I think people kind of know what he is, but
he's not been that good.
But it's like, if you're Rodgers, you're playing indoors, you got Justin Jefferson, you got an offense you're kind of familiar with.
It would make sense from Rodgers' point of view, but it doesn't make sense from the Vikings' point of
view. If J.J. McCarthy is still recovering from his knee injury, I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing to have him sit behind Rodgers for a year. It's one of those where it's like, if you told me this 2 years ago that I would be okay with Aaron Rodgers playing for the Vikings.
Right. That's what it is.
It would be nuts. But at the same time, it's like, I wouldn't blame him as much as I blame Favre, because Favre literally faked a retirement so that he could sign with the Vikings because he hated the Packers so much and Ted Thompson. But I hope it doesn't happen. But I don't know if he's going to retire and go out like this. But at the same time, who's going to make him a starting quarterback next year?
I do feel like he won't retire. I feel like he'll have to be forced into retirement. Yeah. So that's a good point.
But is it,
I also feel like would Minnesota, he would not be a backup.
There's no way.
There is 0% chance he would. If they were like, hey, we'd like you to come in and be the backup, he'd be like, absolutely not. Yeah. I'll sit in a dark room for a week.
Who do you think this is?
I have a question for you, though. What did you think? So this is Joe Douglas obviously got brought up a lot when Rodgers went to the Jets. Other than that, I never heard Joe Douglas's name, to be honest. But what did you think of when you saw Joe Douglas getting fired? I immediately thought of when McAfee.
Everyone
was
did.
It the McAfee thing when he was talking about how smart Joe Douglas is and how dumb he said his name horribly wrong. And at the time, I a little bit felt targeted at the time, because I also didn't want to move on from Rodgers at the time. But now I'm like, Pat looks like kind of a big idiot, because he made fun of Goot on over and over and over again, and it was talking about how smart Joe Douglas is, and now it's like, well, now Joe Douglas doesn't have a job. Rodgers tore his ACL, now Rodgers just sucks. And then you got Gutekunst is actually making smart moves, moved on from Rodgers when he was supposed to, drafted guys who are good. We won't talk about the pass rush, but other than that, it looks good. I don't know. Anyways, that was immediately what I thought about, was that McAfee episode with Rodgers talking about Gutekunst and Joe Douglas.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I thought about it too. And at the time, I was like, yeah, because the whole way, drafting Jordan Love, sure. But then giving Rodgers that extension, it was just, the timing of everything was very strange there. But Pat saying that are we sure he's smart? It's look at his fucking drafts. Pat, I think, was even referencing no first round wide receivers. It's
right.
That's always the...
Which was a popular thing to do at the time.
Who gives a fuck? I don't give a fuck if it's popular. Fucking Sabrina Carpenter is popular, and she's not any fucking good. There's shit out
there. Whoa. Catches strays over here.
It's just because something's popular doesn't make it okay. Fucking Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Randall Cobb, Davante Adams. It's so stupid. And when you're bringing that up as an argument for talking about someone's intelligence as a GM, it's because I didn't agree with what Goody was doing at the time, or the whole thing with the timing of drafting Jordan Love. But obviously he was right, and the way he had built, I mean, we went to the fucking, we won 13 games 3 years in a row with the team that he constructed, and Joe Douglas has never had anything close to that type of success. So that was very, very ridiculous at the time. But whatever. That's our Jets talk, our bi-monthly Jets talk of this podcast. Do you have the Stump Spenny for the week?
Oh, shit. I wasn't aware of where we were in space and time.
What's your deal?
I do have it. Okay. So the Stump Spenny. Let me just... There was a thing I had to read. Okay, so...
Oh, God.
Here we go. In the Packers... Okay, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the Packers' last home win, that was the thing that I had to make sure that I got right. In the Packers' last home win over the 49ers, Three Packers had 100 plus yards receiving. Name them. Okay. I made that really confusing.
No, I think I
got it. So, in the Packers' last home win over the 49ers, do you want the score of that game or the year?
There were three 100.
That's also
there were three 100 yard receivers.
Three over 100 yard receivers in those games.
This was 2020, correct?
This is not 2020.
When was it?
Do you want the year? Yeah. 2018.
Ugh. 2018. So I'm gonna.
This is a really tough one.
2018, I think. And that was Goody's. So Jordy's gone. It is Devontae's first year being wide receiver one, and it is also God, because it's either. I'm pretty sure it's Randall Cobb, and it's receivers, right?
Well, it's 100 plus yards receiving.
Oh, 100 plus yards receiving. So not receivers.
Well, correct. Well, it's not explicitly receivers, no.
Okay. Because I think one of
them... This is a tough one.
Yeah, one of them's either EQ or MBS, I'm pretty sure. If not, it's... Oh, you know what? Oh, no, the Niners. I was going to say, because maybe it was Jamal Williams, but maybe that's not true. I don't know. I mean, it's a fucking guess. I'm going to go with Randall Cobb. I'm going to go with... No, I don't think EQ or MBS. I'm going to go with... Fuck. Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, Jamal Williams.
You have one of those right.
Okay.
So it's Devontae... MVS.
It was MVS.
And you would have, I mean, the last one is Jimmy Graham.
Oh. He had 100 yards in a game?
I would never have guessed.
he
didn't block a soul, but he had 100 plus yards.
He's such a weird, again, like he was never actually on the Packers.
I don't remember him ever having 100 plus. I don't ever remember him being a factor, which maybe he wasn't a factor. That game he won 33-30, and it was Monday Night Football. I'm like, man, I just literally don't remember Jimmy ever being a factor.
The only thing I remember Jimmy Graham was obviously his bad blocking, but he did have the go-ahead first down against the Seahawks at Lambeau in the playoffs in the divisional round. That was the one time. It was like the last play of the game. He barely got the first down. He ran someone over, made some move, barely got the first down. I'm like, okay, I guess it was worth it for this. He helped us win this playoff game.
Huh. I just like literally like the Jimmy Graham year, I just was so mad at the blocking or lack thereof and just being like tight end's not a real position anymore. Yeah. And just like being mad. I don't remember him.
We had Big Dog who all he could do was block. And then we had Jimmy Graham who all he could do is not block.
But like, I remember like Jimmy Graham, like missing red zone catches and just being like, what are you doing? What are you here for?
That had been, anyways, especially under LaFleur, like when he's trying to change the culture and get like receivers and guys to really focus on blocking. You got Jimmy Graham out there. He had been like,
I wonder, Jimmy, if you could sit down with LaFleur and be like, what did you think of Jimmy? And like, get like, obviously it would never be, he would never tell you his honest opinion, but like, be like, dude, I feel like he would be like, that dude was a, he was a cancer to the culture I was trying to build.
I'd like to hear LaFleur's opinions on Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Graham, and Za'Darius Smith. Because again, Za'Darius Smith, the worst thing outside of Kalen Hill when they cut him, the worst thing LaFleur has ever said about a player was the press was asking him going into the first Viking game against Za'Darius. And he was like, I really respect Za'Darius the player. Like that's all he could say about Za'Darius Fair. Smith.
Did you hear, so I think it was Aaron Andrews, maybe they did a little piece leading up to the game. With I can't remember who sat down with LaFleur up to the game.
Because right.
Maybe it was a game of the week or something. I have no idea.
Yep.
Anyways, they sat down with him and I think the way Aaron worded the question was she said, you went from having Aaron Rodgers who you were, and I forget exactly what verb she used, but it essentially was like, you're giving concessions to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And she was like, was that tough versus like going to Jordan Love where you're able to like make the calls and like have him be like a, like kind of like you're molding him. And he was like, And I forget how she worded the question, but he was like, yeah, that's fair. He was like, and it was like the first time I'd ever heard him really say something about Rodgers where it's like, where Rodgers was like making some of the calls. You know what I mean?
Well, no, because I think LaFleur was always very open with that. Several times he said, why would I not use the knowledge that Aaron Rodgers has? And totally. I don't want to do anything that my quarterback doesn't feel comfortable with.
But making concessions in your offense is, when you word it that way, and that's not what she said.
Either way, LaFleur said, if my quarterback, if they don't like a play, we're not going to run that play. He said that from the get-go. So from there on out,
which is true.
Anything in that line, I'm like, he already said that's what's going on. I do not give a shit.
I just thought it was interesting. And LaFleur in the interview gave pause for a second and was like, meh. And it could have been the way she worded it, because she worded it well.
Three.
I thought that was interesting.
Back to back to back 13 win teams and back to back MVPs for Aaron Rodgers. Like
Aaron is sticking up for Aaron.
We are only looking at, like, our brains don't work the same anymore. Like, recent history does not fucking matter anymore. Rodgers was back to back MVP. We won 13 games. We should have won a Super Bowl. If we won one fucking Super Bowl, everything would seem different now, but that didn't happen. Kind of a big thing to not do, but whatever. Okay. Niners preview. You ready for the Niners preview?
Yes.
We're playing the San Francisco 49ers this week. Where am I in my notes? Where? Kickoff is at 3:25. We are on Fox. Burkhart and Brady. Once again, the Packers are 2.5-point favorites. The over-under currently is 47.5. I do wonder if that 2.5-point mark is going to change getting close to kickoff. Niners are 5-5 after losing to Seattle last week. They are last in the NFC West currently, which is a little surprising. Usually they're up top there. Niners on offense are scoring 25 points a game, 8th best in the league. They are 2nd in the league in yards per game. Passing, they're getting 8.5 yards per pass, which is 3rd best in the league. Very average in pass protection, getting sacked 14% of the time, which is 14th best in the league. I'm slipping up my words a little bit here. Running, they're getting 5 yards per carry, 4th best in the league. Once again, what do you know? The Niners are good at running the ball. They do turn over the ball a bit, though, 1.3 turnovers per game, which, again, is kind of middle of the road. Offensive players, Brock Purdy has been pretty okay. I feel like he's Jared Goff. You know, he's just a young, cute little version of Jared Goff. 13 touchdowns.
Without Jared Goff's offense.
Yeah. 13 TDs, 8 picks, 2006, whatever, fucking years. Nobody knows what that means at this point. A pass rating of 96, so pretty solid. Pass catchers, Juwan Jennings currently leads the team still with 588 yards. He had that one game with 175 out of nowhere earlier this year, like 200 something. I don't remember. Deebo Samuel with a bit of a down year, 490 yards. He had 22 yards receiving last week and hasn't gone over 75 yards in a month. Brandon Ayuk is not playing football right now because he tore his ACL. Ricky Pearsall, the rookie out of Florida, has gotten more snaps lately. He had a couple big plays a couple weeks ago, not much since. George Kittle, the tight end, mini Tucker Kraft, 2nd most receiving yards in the league for tight ends at 560, still pretty good. The running offense, Christian McCaffrey was back last week, had 19 carries for 79 yards at 4.2 average, also had 4 receptions. Besides that, they still have Jordan Mason, who filled in pretty well while McCaffrey was out, and along with rookie Isaac Grendo, who used to be on the Badgers. I'm probably the only person who said his last name like that.
Wow.
I was going to say something. I'm not going to. Defense info. The Niners defense hasn't been the defense of old. They're still pretty good, but they're not the bread and butter. Those hard-nosed Niners defenses of the past, not so much that this year. They're giving up 22.2 points per game, which is 16th best. They are, however, giving up they are 6th best in the league in yardage, giving up 302 per game. The pass D is 5th best in the league, giving up 6.5 yards per pass. They'll also pick off the ball 3.43 repeating, of course, time. They're passing 6th best in the league for that. Overall, 8th best in the league, forcing 1.6 turnovers per game. They have 26 sacks on the season, which is good for 14th best in the league. Man, these are a lot of stats. I probably didn't need all of these in here. The run D is solid, 9th best, giving up 4.3 yards per carry. defensive players. The defense is still led by Fred Warner, probably the best linebacker in the league when healthy. Nick Bosa had a non-contact injury last week, and he's questionable to play. It doesn't seem like he tore his ACL. That would be pretty crazy if they found out this late in the week, but he's obviously still a beast. Renardo Green and Jair Brown have played pretty well in the secondary. Javon Hargrave and Drew Greenlaw are both on the IR. A couple other really, really good players for that defense. But that is the San Francisco 49ers. Again, kind of just a weird year for them. Lost to the Seahawks last week. It's weird that they're 5-5, but
yeah.
Playing at Lambeau, can't underestimate this team. The weather isn't going to be shitty. If it was raining, I'd feel really, really good about this game because, man, was Brock Purdy horseshit in San Francisco last year in the divisional round, playing outside in the rain. He's got them little baby hands. So, I don't know, Todd, how are you feeling about this game?
I definitely, like, if last week hadn't happened, I would feel, like, pretty good about this game, just seeing where the Niners are at this year. And, like, it's not the team we faced last year at all. I just like that defense, that pass rush. I was like, there's just some things that I'm just like, yeah, we really need to clean up. And like, granted, like the penalties and stuff were better this week, but like, yeah, I don't know. I just like, after that game against the Bears, I'm just like, blah. It just feels blah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I could see Brock Purdy playing a similar game to Caleb Williams because he's going to drop back and get the ball out quick. They're going to run the ball halfway decent, I think probably better than the Bears, especially McCaffrey with his second week back, or maybe it's his third week with the knee injury that he had, or his tendonitis, whatever the fuck it was.
Was it? I thought it was like something with his ankle or foot.
Yeah, it's something with his lower body, but it's like tendonitis. It's a weird long-term thing. You wonder how much longer his career is going to be going on for, but Purdy can't run like Caleb Williams, you know, so I feel like we should be able to contain him a little bit better. I think they have better weapons, maybe. I don't know if Debo is going to be Debo again, but Kittle, I assume he's going to play. Apparently, he was close to playing last week. That's going to be tough, but I don't know. At Lambeau, I still feel pretty good. It's still just Kyle Shanahan has had LaFleur's number, and until we beat the Niners in the playoffs, I'm not going to feel very good going up against the Niners, I feel like.
Yeah, they're just kind of like that. It is a little bit like some teams give you just a little bit of like the heebie-jeebies, and that's like the Niners for us, where it's like, even when they're bad, I'm like, I just don't feel good about going up against a Shanahan team. It's just something about it. Granted, it's better that we're at home, but what? There's got to be a stat out there. Like, we've freaking lost to the Niners at home a bunch.
Yeah, I think the last time we beat them, maybe it was the game you're talking about. I think it was.
Well, yeah, that was the last game that we beat them at home.
Yeah, because that was Nick Mullen, I believe, that started for him. If it wasn't Nick Mullen, it was the Iowa quarterback that looks like me.
God. Hang on.
Fuck.
This is important.
Yeah, I know. God.
Start with a G? Last name starts with a G?
Maybe. I don't know.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. God, He bounced around the league a little bit, too.
Glennon.
Nope, not him. He was the Bears.
You kind of look like Glennon.
Do you fucking take that back. You take that back. I've gotten fatter through the years, so I no longer have the skinny little neck.
His neck's much longer than yours. That's fair.
But I don't know. Regular season, I guess we can beat the Niners. The one thing, and I don't want to say it cursed the Packers. I think I was just right about something. But on the podcast, that NFC Championship game in San Francisco in 2019, I said we really need to beat this game or beat the Niners in this game because I don't want to continue this narrative or start this narrative that the Niners, you know, because like back when Harbaugh was there with Kaepernick, they always had our number two, it seemed like, especially in the playoffs. And I was like, I don't want to start this with LaFleur losing to Shanahan in the playoffs. And ever since then, they have really been our kryptonite going up against the divisional round, the NFC Championship game. Obviously, it's just, ugh. Ugh. I still think that was a long time ago. John Kuhn not being able to do a Lambeau leap at Lambeau when we had the go-ahead touchdown and then eventually losing that game. The Niners have just always had our number, it feels like. I just, heebie-jeebies. Yeah. If we win this game, though, it would go a long way in the Niners potentially not making the playoffs, which
that's true
would be nice. It would be kind of cool to put a nail in the coffin that probably a couple more
this
would have
like
to go in.
This is like peak time to talk about like playoff percentages, right? Like, I feel like that's all I see on Twitter these days is like, well, if the X team wins, their percent chance to make the playoffs goes from this to this, and it's like a 40% difference. And I'm like, okay. Like, what does that even mean?
In 2022, I cared about that because we weren't very good, and it was like, okay, for me, at no point this season have I felt like the Packers aren't going to be in the playoffs. So I haven't given a single second thinking about us not making the playoffs. I'm not going to put it in the universe, but if, you know, some things went poorly the next month and we didn't have one thing in the one column, then I would be a little worried, but that's not going to fucking happen. We're going to make the playoffs, so I don't care about that. The Lions are going to be the one seed. I don't think we're going to overtake them. So for me, I'm like, whatever we do, I don't care. Let's just fucking beat whoever we're going up against in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, same sentiment. The playoff stuff, I'm just like, what is even, like, I can watch a team now and be like, that doesn't mean anything to me. The percentages, I'm like, I don't care if they jump 30%. Us beating the Bears the way we beat the Bears, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It doesn't propel us to the playoffs. Like, we already were what we were. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, just looking at the standings in like the NFC right now too, because what was it? Fucking. So like right now, you know, the Cardinals and the Falcons are like the 2 and 3 or 3 and 4 seed. And I'm like,
oh, really?
I'd feel great about playing
those
teams.
I've even looked.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm like, I don't fucking give a shit. I don't give a shit right now.
Give me the fucking wild card.
Exactly.
I don't care.
And you know what, Todd? Give me your fucking score prediction.
Hell yeah. So I'll give you Billy's first.
Okay, well, that's not what I asked for, but I understand.
He had 24-23 San Fran was his prediction.
Yeah, okay.
How do you feel? Are you? I'm just reading you a little bit. Are you feeling that way as well?
I don't know. I've been picking the Packers way too much this year. I'm going to just say mine. I have us winning 24-28.
Okay.
You know, I do think it's going to be a close game. Purdy's still kind of a question mark. I think the defense is going to turn around. I mean, we have enough tape. That's the thing too with Halfley, which was a big part of last week. I think it just shows you there's just a huge difference in this league. And coordinators, when they get time and they can do a bunch of tape watching on an offense or a defense. Because again, like last year, we beat the shit out of the Lions on a short week on Thanksgiving. You know, Ben Johnson didn't put together a great game plan against our defense. You know, Matt LaFleur was able to against the Lions, whatever, short week. And I just, with the Bears changing their offensive coordinator, yada, yada, I think Halfley is... especially was a little embarrassed. I think they'll come out pretty strong. And on offense, although we didn't put up a shit ton of points, I mean, we had we were in the red zone twice, came away with no points on two of those trips, whatever. It's like, if we just put up 6 more points or we had one more touchdown, we would have had 30 points in the game last week, you know, with the 2-point conversion shit too. The Niners defense, I don't think it's as good as the Bears defense. We didn't talk much about that, but the Bears pass D was very, very good last week. I still think we're going to win this game. Wouldn't be shocked. Wouldn't be surprised if we end up losing it. And even if we do, it's like, whatever. There's worse teams to lose to, especially now. It's not like there's a ton of... I don't think there's going to be competition with it. I don't want to misspeak and then jinx us. What is your score prediction?
I had 24-20 Packers. I just did feel a little bit like it's a bounce back game for the defense, even with, I feel like, some better weapons across the board, like a more balanced attack. And with CMC, you never really know what's going to happen because that dude can be lights out. But I just felt like that. I'm just hoping that that's not our defense going forward. That I feel like we bounce back pretty nicely. That run D was not good. So Caleb was 70 yards of it. So yeah. I mean, Brock's not doing that. So
very fair. What is Billy's bold prediction?
Bold prediction was Jaden Reed rushing touchdown for Billy.
Okay.
You like that? I like it. I think that's a fun one.
I would like it if we score. I don't want Jaden Reed to get the ball in the red zone rushing it, I don't think, at this point. It just hasn't worked very well this year. But if it works, hey, it works. That's how it kind of goes in the NFL.
But I think, didn't you bring up like a week or two ago, like the Christian Watson,
yes,
like Jets and end arounds? They're more end arounds. They're fun to watch.
Yes.
And so like maybe Jaden Reed takes one of those in. Was my
favorite. But outside of the
red zone. Speaking for Billy.
Yeah, maybe.
But Jaden Reed can do a lot down the field.
Yeah, I'll take it if it happens. What is your bold prediction?
Brenton Cox, 2 sacks.
Ooh.
Bold enough?
Okay, yeah, I think so. And again, I like Brenton Cox. He's been...
And Jeff talking about Brenton Cox made me just like feel so much better about like what he is when he's like, oh, this guy's like really like earning it. And it's a guy that like has been on the back burner for feels like forever, couple 2-3 years or whatever he's been on the team, where it's just like, that's just a dude, right? And where like Jeff's like, oh, like maybe this guy can rush the ball, which is like obviously like nobody can that we have currently. So I don't know, it'd be fun. I think he's lined up on the would be the left side of the defensive line, which is not Trent Williams' side, so that makes me feel a little bit better. So
I think they moved him around a little bit, too. I think they did put him on the other side. I could be wrong, but
oh, did they?
I do believe that happened.
The sack that he got was on the left side of the line, yes, which would be the right tackle.
Yes. Yeah, and again, for those who don't remember, Brenton Cox, he played for Georgia and Florida, I believe.
Oh, yes. I thought you were going to say, yes, Florida was where he graduated from, or not graduated from.
I was going to say, no.
He did not graduate.
He got kicked out of Georgia, kicked out of Florida, was like a 5-star recruit, whatever. He's a tremendous athlete, and he was like fighting within the team and shit. So now he's seemed to have grown up, and maybe he can do some shit.
We all make mistakes.
My bold prediction, and if you want to put a kibosh on this, I guess it would be fine, but someone who we did not talk about, who is playing for the San Francisco 49ers, is Devondre Campbell. I have Devondre Campbell getting a personal foul in this game. I think he's going to do something dumb after the play, either a late hit or he's going to like push someone late. He's kind of an asshole. He's back at Lambeau. I loved him when he was with the team. I kind of...
Is he a big asshole, though?
He is the definition of if you run into an asshole, if you're going about your day,
he's like a Twitter asshole.
You run into someone, you know, whatever, they were an asshole. But if all day you're running into assholes, you're the asshole. He always blames the coaching staff for his lack of success. True. That's always what it's been. He never talked to the media. It was still hilarious last year how, like, you will get fined if you don't talk to the media. He didn't want to talk to anyone in Green Bay, so Sports Illustrated found someone for him to talk to. And then Bill Huber posted the story. It was just very funny how he is an asshole, but he was our asshole, and maybe he'll be, I don't know, asshole. But yeah, I have him personal foul one way or another on Sunday.
Okay. I could see that. I don't think he had a lot for us, so that's kind of interesting.
Campbell, what do you mean?
Did he have a lot of personal fouls?
No, not really. No, I don't think he so. Didn't.
Quay was more of the... Quay made the waves. So.
True. I always like Campbell's hair, too. He looked kind of like...
I like the hair.
Or whatever. Yeah. With that, everyone's favorite part, if you could please leave a 5-star review, that would be cool on Apple or Spotify. If Spotify, leave a 5-star rating. Oh, man, it is getting late. You can leave a comment on Spotify. You can leave a review on Apple, iTunes, whatever the hell it is. Take a screenshot, email it to us. We will send you a free koozie. I did finally send the one to... God, I don't know if it's his name. What is it? I think his name is Nick Hammer. Very cool name.
That's a sick name.
Hammer is such a cool... Maybe he gave like an alias, but like the last name...
Okay.
Have you ever heard the last name Hammer?
MC Hammer?
that was impressive that you actually came up with that, because I did not think of that. Yeah, and I sent him in. I'm like, I don't want to put a return address, so I just put... PMP headquarters. So hopefully it makes it to them. If not, yep, then two koozies are lost in the abyss at this point. But yeah, if you want to leave a review, you can do that. We'll read on the podcast this week. And I'll give you guys credit, because this is week 11. This is the first time we don't have a review, don't have a comment. Very,
wow,
very sad.
No comments.
Very sad. Yeah, I know. So if you guys want to say something next week, you know, we'll read on the pod.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, come on. You know, you love us, we love you, or something. I guess, Todd, this might be you know, maybe we have to point the finger at you. It was your bye week bonanza that people just must not have identified.
I think
with.
People were so satisfied with the bye week, but they were like, there's nothing to say.
They went back and wanted to listen to it again. They didn't leave any comments or anything.
Yeah, they were just like, we'll just leave this as it is. No comments.
Yeah, I did love the draft, though. The offense, the defensive players playing offense was so, the perfect amount of stupid still for the bye week.
Yeah, definitely stupid.
With that, I do not have anything else. Todd, do you have anything else?
I would just like to mention the Packers are coming up to a point in the season where they play, I think it's like in 12 days, they play 3 games, which for an NFL season is wild. So they play the 24th, which is a Sunday. They turn around 3 days in between. Then they play the 28th, which is Thursday night football. And then they go a week and they play Thursday night football again on the 5th.
Huh.
So...
Well,
which everybody we get to watch. I mean, it's great that we get to watch the Packers play. It's the late game on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I'm not complaining about that. But the Packers, I mean, to turn around, you play Sunday, you get 3 games of rest, and then you play Thursday. That, or three games, 3 days of rest, and then you play Thursday. Like, that sucks.
I mean, I guess if... Maybe devil's advocate here, but if you're going to have 2 Thursday night games in a season, I would want them back to back so that you get a full week instead of 2 short weeks.
Totally. And then you get the mini bye after.
Yeah.
So it's not the worst thing in the world, but like if you look at it like from the 24th of November to the 5th of December, like what does that end up being? So you got a week. Yeah. You got like...
I can't do that math.
It's like 11, 12 days. Like, that's not... It depends. Are you counting the 24th as a day or you're not? So, okay. I don't know. Guys are going to be banged up a little bit, probably. Yeah. At least in that, from the 24th to Thanksgiving, that's a tough turnaround. Okay.
That is a good observation. I had not thought about
that. We need Saturday games.
You know, I just focus on this week. This week is all that matters. Just like Matt LaFleur, it's all I'm focused on is this
week. I wake
week.
Up with my piss hot.
Yeah, with that. Todd, do you have anything else? You better not have. No. Okay.
Nope.
Oh, wow. With a mouthful of water. You're just drinking water. There.
Just water. Yeah. Just staying hydrated.
I don't have anything else. AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch. I don't even wanna quit my job. Yeah. 'Cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away, yeah, well now I don't care. 'Cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey, now Cody thinks that the one, that lake... that it's on, which is like a nothing lake. It's like a pond.
Mm-hmm.
Cody thinks that there's a bunch of fish in that lake because one of his friends fishes up there.
The pond?
Oh, that's what he said. There's not a lot of lakes. What is it called?
I don't know how anyone can have an opinion on that pond.
I 100% agree, but his friend fishes a ton.
That is unbelievable. There's 10,000 lakes. I don't know if you've ever heard about that. That
Where?
One?
In Wisconsin?
That one? It is. There are ponds on golf courses larger than that.
It's tiny.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.